From the number one sports site in the world.
Yahoo!
This is Yahoo Sports Radio.
YahooSportsRadio.com.
It's the weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio at YahooSportsRadio.com. And you know us sports fans? Yeah, we like other things other than sports. Like cars and automotive stuff. Welcome to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing, now on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Let's put the key in the ignition, shall we? And fire up the engines.
From the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome in. It is Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. I am Matt Perrault. Mr. Mike Herzing, how are you, my friend?
I am doing great, big guy. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, here we are into kind of the springtime, and, you know, people start getting back into the weather where they actually can do some work on their cars. They can start to throw the top down. They can take off the soft top or the hard top, and they can start to get out there and enjoy the great outdoors. So always a good time when we start getting into the springtime and summertime months quickly approaching. We've got a couple of cool things, two car reviews coming at you here on this edition of Let's Talk Wheels, and we will also get into a guest in about 20 minutes. But let's start with our friends from Mitsubishi, Mr. Mike Herzing.
Yes.
Because, well, they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
This is not the first time they've been caught with their hand in the cookie jar. They've made some big mistakes in the past. So
the headline is this. Mitsubishi Motors today admitted that it has been falsely reporting fuel economy data since 1991.
Well, this is in Japan and some of their European cars. And, you know, and then, but see, also they have they sell some cars to Nissan and they rebadge them. You know, rebadging is a big deal. That's pretty common.
Called white labeling too. But yes.
Yeah. And they're rebadging that kind of stuff. And so, and it's kind of a big scandal. And they do, it's not a lot of cars. Man, for 25 years is a long time.
Oh, yeah. Well, this car they did it on is the smallest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah. Mini cars.
It's a tiny little vehicle that they did this on. And, well, you know, it's a car that is not sold here in the United States. It's only sold overseas.
Right.
So given what we've gone through with Volkswagen, it's very nice to see this is not going to be affecting us. But it's a micro car. It's called the Days Rooks.
Yeah.
Micro car.
Yeah.
Which I can't get my brain around driving these
in
things.
Japan, that's a big deal where these guys, you know, honor is a big thing in Japan. And it should be everywhere, to be honest with you. But it's a big deal. And these guys lied and cheated and you know, faked this thing. People don't understand that on fuel economy, which also affects emissions, that you're cheating on emissions if you're cheating on fuel economy. Because, you know, the more fuel you use, the more emissions you put out. That when even in the U.S., you know, when you do a fuel economy test on a car, that you do it by the recommendations of, in the U.S., like on the EPA, and the EPA says, here's the parameters, your car has to go this and this, you know, all these things. And it basically does it on a treadmill, okay? It's on a dynamometer, but it's, say, a treadmill type thing. And here's the parameters. And everybody's supposed to do it the same way. You don't send the car off for testing. The manufacturers do it themselves. And it's on the honor system, okay? Honest, really.
Yeah.
And then the EPA is supposed to randomly test them. So what happens is if the EPA gets a lot of complaints, like my car, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration gets a lot of complaints that my car doesn't get what it's supposed to and it's really off, they will do a test. And they'll go, okay, let's go see. We're getting a lot of complaints. They get a lot of tests. Now, a couple years ago, several years ago, like 5 or 6 years ago, Kia and Hyundai got some complaints on certain cars that they weren't getting the fuel economy. It's like 5 or 6 miles per gallon off. Well, they went and tested it, and sure enough, it was off. And they went, you know, went to Kia and Hyundai, and actually Ford was one of them. And they said, you guys need to restate the numbers. Okay, they were off. So they had to do that. Then that means the people that they sold the cars to had to get rebates. And because guess what? It was off.
Yeah, it's wild too, though. And what's, I think in the news having to do with, and why I think the story with Mitsubishi is so, you know, I guess newsworthy, yeah, is that there was a report that came out today, this week, that claimed that Volkswagen, when they were putting together their process of,
right,
evading the EPA,
uh-huh,
they had a PowerPoint presentation on,
oh,
how to do,
no,
it. Yeah. They found that they actually had evidence, like a amazing, wild breakdown of how to get around and make the computer do what they wanted it to do, which was spit out the admissions data incorrectly.
Wow.
I mean, this is we are now into a world here when it comes to the EPA and it comes to admissions and it comes to pollution that it is really scary that, you know, one story fine, Volkswagen, it's been kind of a drip, drip, drip thing, which is never good. But now we're going into Mitsubishi's doing this. You have to wonder if we need to kind of rethink the way we're doing this, and maybe we need to get into a more streamlined or more consistent way of doing this. Because right now it looks like these companies are able to kind of circumvent the rules a touch.
Well, you're right. And see, here's what happened. So the EPA here in the United States finds out that Mitsubishi's been doing this on their Japanese models. So the EPA kind of went, knocked on their door and said, hey, we found out you've been doing this in Japan. We want you to go ahead and we're going to go ahead and test all the ones you've been doing here. So they want them to go back and retest all the American versions just to find out if they've been doing it here. So let's hope now let's find out if the other shoe is going to drop and they're doing that. What it is if there's a called an irregular coast down. So as the cars are slowing down on from their 80 mile an hour or so-and-so test, there's a coast down step from 80 miles an hour. It generates a reading of aerodynamic drag and friction in the drivetrain, and you're supposed to put this in the computer simulation as you're slowing down. Well, if they just kind of cheat on that one a little bit, all of a sudden the car will get much better fuel economy.
And right.
Sometimes it's 2 or 3 miles per gallon. That's a big difference. Well, you know, it's funny. I talked to the engineers at Chrysler, and I said, what about, you know, fuel economy with you guys? He said, if we fudge on fuel economy, it's the other way. If we think we can get, you know, 30, we'll only tell them, we'll tell, you know, Sergio 29. Hmm. I said, why is that? He goes, because we don't want to lose our jobs. because they, you know, their big deal is, I always say, I can, as long as I can make the car get the fuel economy stated somehow or other, even if I have to drive 55, I'm okay with it. But I've been in cars that there's no way I can make it get the fuel economy that's stated.
Huh.
It's nuts.
Go
ahead.
It is Let's Duck Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio on a Saturday morning, kind of going through some of these stories with Mitsubishi and some of these stories that having to do with admission. And let me ask you a question about emissions in terms of as we start to get further into the electric car market and we see more and more cars start to become electric.
Yeah.
Will these standards soon to be obsolete?
Sort of. I mean, people think electric cars are wonderful, but don't forget about the power plants that produce electricity and all the mining and everything. And I was also reading something about the cost of lithium is going crazy through the roof and it's quadrupling.
Wow.
And all of the mining that goes into the lithium and what that does to the earth. And so it's not, you know, that and all the rare earth metals that it takes to make all of the components for all that. And that's all ugly. So don't think that having electric cars. And then the other side of that is when you get this great fuel economy, what pays for our roads? The gasoline taxes. So we'll have to figure out a new way to tax all that to pay for the roads. Because if everybody drives electric cars and doesn't buy gasoline, how are we going to fix the roads?
Interesting.
So, got to think about all that. It's all a bag of worms.
That's interesting for sure. And then obviously you have the oil and gas industry that obviously is closely watching what's happening.
I think we'll figure out something. But, you know, watching the Formula E race, the electric car racing, it just kind of makes me put me to sleep. It's like watching golf.
Too slow or not?
They're slow. They're crazy fast. They're crazy. Unbelievably acceleration and fast and everything. But the sound of a Grand Prix motor is just exciting.
You know? So you need you need the sound.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you would love the car I'm driving that I'm going to give you the review on coming up because it's as loud as it can be in terms of a vehicle you wanted to drive.
There you go.
You will love the roar of the engine, as they say, with the car I was driving. So we'll give you that review.
I'm driving an off-road King that's kind of sad in a way.
Sad?
Yes. You know.
Wow.
I'm kind of sad because nobody will ever take it off-road.
Oh, okay.
Anymore because it's a nice car, nice vehicle, big, very, and it was used to be the King, really a wonderful off-road vehicle in the 70s and even the early 80s, and now no one will ever take it off-road because it's $80,000.
And I'm you're driving an $80,000 car. Yep. Oh, I'm so sad for you.
Yeah, well.
All right, we got our reviews coming up next on the cars that Mike and I both drove this week. Then we'll talk more. We'll have a guest come up here in about 15, 20 minutes as well. It's a Saturday morning. It is Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing right here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Run Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Perrault.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Matt Perrault with you, and it's time to chit-chat a little bit about the vehicles that Mike and I were lucky enough to kind of partake and review coming up this week. And, well, I'll go first, Mike, all right?
Yes, I want to hear it. I'm jealous.
I'll go first. I drove the 2015 Lancer Evolution GSR from Mitsubishi.
The Evo.
Yeah, the Evo.
Yeah.
So this car, let me just give you the sticker price on it, okay?
Yeah.
The MSRP on this thing is over $37,000.
Yeah.
This car has, it is the first time I've driven a vehicle where pretty much every dollar, not every dollar, but every big time upgrade was under the hood.
Yeah.
And on the shocks and in the braking and in the wheels and in the shocks. I mean, this car is designed, it's not designed for somebody who wants a luxurious cabin. This car is a 5-speed manual transmission for somebody that wants to get up and go. This thing flies. And if you are a Fast and the Furious fan, if you're somebody that really enjoys the ability of having a stick and having a car that is sort of like, I felt like when I was driving this thing in second or third gear, I was walking an untrained dog. Like, it just constantly wants to pull you. Like, this thing wants to go, and when you push it, it just jumps. So a 2.0 turbo Mavic DOC and DHOC 16-valve inline 4-cylinder engine. You know more than I do on that, Mike, but this thing's a good engine. It can really roll.
Double overhead cam, bad boy. Awesome motor.
Awesome motor and a 5-speed manual transmission that really is quick through the gears, smooth through the gears. I really enjoyed the handling of this thing. It can really hug corners. It's quick. All-wheel drive control that really shows off. The struts and the shots are really cool. Active center differential. It is a vehicle in which when you sit in it, you feel like you're in a race car, and the exhaust they've put on it is a race car exhaust. It's loud. People know you're coming. They know you're passing, and it was an experience for me to drive it, I got to admit. Now, the interior, I was a little bit frustrated with some of the things in the interior. So in a modern car with a touchscreen, because it has a touchscreen, you should have an auxiliary input. You should have a USB input. These are tiny little things with cars now, but when you get in them and you're in a modern vehicle, you expect the car to have it, in particular for a car that's nearly $40,000. I was surprised at that. I don't need leather. It didn't have it. It was a mercury gray with black fabric on the interior. It looks really nice. I mean, it looks sharp. And you can explain this to me, Mike. I understand the point of a spoiler.
Yeah.
But on a car this small, the spoiler actually goes exactly down the middle of your rear view of your rear mirror of your back mirror. Window rather.
Right.
And it was probably it's the biggest spoiler I've ever driven.
Right.
Is that because the car gets to be such a top speed it has to keep the thing down?
You don't have to worry about anybody behind you. Nobody's going to pass you. Don't worry.
Well, I couldn't see anybody.
Nobody can get around you. Don't worry.
Yes, that's true.
Except you have to worry about the cops catching you. But they can't catch you.
So yeah, I mean, I watched a couple of videos on this before I drove it. And I didn't do this. But supposedly the top speed on this thing is 160 miles an hour.
Yeah, it is.
It's a fun car.
Oh, yeah.
It has all the anti-lock brake stuff that you want. Sound system, this had a sight and sound package of a couple thousand dollars with a Rockford Fosgate premium sound system nine speakers, without a doubt.
Buy it.
Subwoofer. I mean, it was awesome. It rattled your ears. So if you're looking for this type of vehicle, get behind the wheel and drive it. It's an experience. And if you're into what's under the hood and not necessarily what's in the cabin of the car, 2015 Lancer Evo GSR. Woohoo! Fun car.
All right, my turn. 2016 Toyota Land Cruiser. Oh. They've been bringing these things in the country since 1957. They used to be basically a Japanese version of a Jeep. Go anywhere, do anything. You can't kill them. Well, they're really not a Japanese version of a Jeep anymore. They're now the Japanese version of a Land Rover. This is the most luxurious thing in the world. And it's also probably one of the most capable vehicles in the world. You can go anywhere on this thing. It's got every electronic stability control crazy thing. It's got a big V8 with an 8-speed transmission. I mean, 315 horsepower, over 400 pounds of torque. It's got everything. It's got, you've even got it set up with, you can push the button, hook up your iPhone and talk to Siri. It's got a heated steering wheel. It's got the multi-information display. It's got a 9-inch screen on the dash. It's got dynamic radar cruise control, the new Toyota Safety Sense Peace system. If you're going over, under 25 miles an hour, somebody stops in front of you or somebody walks in front of you, it'll stop the car. And this is a big 8-passenger SUV with 3 rows of seats. This is a big sucker. Mm. I mean, this is a bus. It's got a lane departure alert, auto high beams, automatic windshield wipers and everything else. But what's funny is it doesn't have remote start. It doesn't have a power tailgate. It has this kind of a clamshell. But it has blind spot monitors, rear cross traffic alert. It's got power and a sway for trailer. That you can pull a 8,100-pound trailer. It's basically a body-on-frame vehicle. Now, from the A-pillar, which is where the windshield is, forward, it's all new. And it's basically a Tundra truck from the front end up. It's got the kinetic dynamic suspension system, hydraulically adjust all the lean resistance when you go into a corner or anything like that, or when you're off-roading. This thing will go anywhere off-road. Of course, but at $84,000, $84,860, which is what mine was delivered, they only make it in one version. That's it. There are no options because it's got everything you would ever want. Everything. Okay? Approach and departure angles if you're off-roading are 30 degrees and 20 degrees. Basically, you can go anywhere off-road without dragging anything. You can go up any angle, hill or go down anything. It's got a torsion limiter strip, locking center differential. It's got automatic. It's all-time four-wheel drive. But it's basically, you set the terrain, multi-terrain select system, and it'll go crazy. It'll have crawl control. You can basically go down this giant hill. You can just hit your brakes and say, I want to go down here at a half a mile an hour, and it'll go down there half a mile an hour. I'll show you, let off on the brakes, you set it, I want to go back down, I'm going to go down this giant hill at 1 mile an hour, it'll do it.
Wow.
And you just let off of the brakes, you don't touch anything, it just crawls down there. It's got 7-level blower controls, but it's got automatic air, of course, and everything. It's got 28 air vents around there to bring air to you. Micro dust and pollen filters keeps the air clean. Yeah. Ooh. This is when you're like on the Serengeti or something. It's crazy. It's got electrically heated ceramic element heaters, like a home space heater. That's what heats your cabin.
Huh.
This is crazy, man. It's an awesome vehicle. Toyota Land Cruiser, you want, instead of going out and buying that big Land Rover, get the Toyota Land Cruiser. This is a much better vehicle. And it's built. It's Toyota quality. This is it, bud. It's $84,000, and you can't get any better than this.
All right, much more to come. It is a Saturday morning. It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Round Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Perrault.
It is Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing, Matt Perrault with you here on a Saturday morning. And, well, let's talk a little bit about some radars. Mike, I'll let you do the honors introducing our next guest on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line.
Well, our good friend Ron Jividen from Escort Radar is on the line. I hear that Escort is kind of branching out a little bit, Ron.
Yes, we are. Matt, Mike, everybody listening, good to be back on. The big news, 3 of the largest names and mobile consumer electronics, Beltronics, Escort, and now Cobra have joined forces, and we're one big happy family. So, yeah, we think that's big news. We're branching out all over the place.
Wow, I've been around with Cobras for years. I remember having a Cobra CB radio, way back in the 70s. That's awesome.
Yes. So Cobra, GPS, radar, marine, CB radios, dash cams. They got power products, inverters, a whole family. Joining up now with the state-of-the-art in radar detection protection from Escort and Beltronics. So it's one-stop shopping. You've got it all.
You know, as a matter of fact, you mentioned dash cams. That's the newest thing. Everybody wants one of those nowadays.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot going on the road. And what better to do than be driving with something that's the perfect eyewitness? So the Cobra CDR855BT, can I mention a few comments about that?
Sure.
Yeah, so the 855BT will allow you to be, it is not a they say, you say. It is an unevent, unemotional, perfect piece of technology that's going to be the perfect eyewitness and record and capture everything that's in front of you. It can also capture the unexpected. You remember the large meteorite that flew in over Russia? That was caught with a dash cam. And then finally, that dash cam is going to watch over your vehicle while you're away from the vehicle, and that's kind of an interesting feature as well. All of the Cobra dash cams record in 1080 HD. This dash cam is just a plug and play. Take it out of the box, put it up on the windshield, and the 855 is ready to go. 160-degree angle viewing, so in the front, it's going to capture everything. Continuous loop recording, so you don't really do anything, and all that recording is put on a micro SD card. So you can take it out of the car, bring it in the house, USB cord, which is included, plug into your laptop, download the video files. It's just file transfer, just like when you're doing video or images or other videos. You can also just take the card out. So if you want to drop the card out of there and read from that, all of that's captured. You can also use the device for single snap mode, so you can take pictures. But in this feature where it's in the parking mode, the neat part about that is the dash cam. If you set it up such, it sits in your car, and when you leave, it's got accelerometer chips inside the dash cam so that it knows when to record accident events on the road so it won't overwrite them. But at the same time, if anybody is around your vehicle, begins to move the vehicle, shake the vehicle, it's going to turn on and capture all of that event. So, perfect eyewitness, capture the unexpected and some fun, take some images and pictures, but it's also going to be security for your vehicle. All that and more, $149.95.
That's a deal. Because I know what's funny is Toyota, on some of their vehicles, have setups for dash cams coming from the factory that way. There's no dash cam, but all the wiring and everything is already there.
Yeah, so the 855 will do a direct wire and tie right into the vehicle as well. Hey, can I jump over to the Escort radar division? Because that's still high performance. Yeah. Radar detection protection with the Max 360.
I owe you money because it saves my butt every weekend.
I need to get one.
Well, everybody needs to get one. If you drive a car, you need one of these. And the reason is, it's like having a co-pilot in the vehicle. You're never going to be surprised again because we see farther than anyone else. It's the absolute state of the art. It's going to see all the bands all the time. But the new Max 360, it's got a rear-looking antenna, a forward-looking antenna, and the best part about this, besides the fact that it's the digital signal processing platform of the original Max from several years ago, on top of the ability to eliminate false alerts, the ability to reject all of those other lane assist, blind spot monitoring systems, theft systems, etc., we call that in-vehicle technologies, those create false alerts. The Max 360 will ignore all of those false alerts, but alert you to the real threats down the road and behind the road because the Max 360, it's got a dual meter display and arrows. So now when she's coming up from behind, the rear ramp meter is going to start to come up a little bit in the display. You'll get an audio alert. She'll talk to you. And the arrow will indicate where the source of the alert's coming from. And as she comes up, goes by you, and then forward, you're going to watch these arrows shift, and you're going to watch the front meter come up. It's just a real complete piece of intelligence to know where all the threats are at all times. And remember, in the Max 360, as many of our premium detectors, we're going to give you your vehicle speed when you get an alert. You'll see that in the display. We give you the posted speed limit. We're going to give you other information via the Escort Live app. It'll tie to your Android phone. It'll tie to your iOS phone, your Apple phone. So now, when you're down the road, Mike, and you see something, your detector is going to talk to the app, come back down from the cloud and talk to my detector, I will know what you just saw before I even get there. The new Max 360, ultimate intelligence, know where all the sources of all the threats are at all times.
Huh. Best of all, I think that I like about it is it understands your driving style. And the faster you go or the slower you go, the more sensitive or less sensitive it gets. I think that's probably the neatest part about it.
That's another great point. Yes, extreme intelligence to let you know that it's working all the time. You don't do anything. It takes care of all that in the background. With the location awareness, we're also going to alert to the red light cameras, fixed speed cameras, et cetera. So it's just a real nice piece of technology. And aesthetically, it is one of the most beautiful detectors we've ever done. Those arrows are phenomenal.
I have to admit, I didn't think the arrow thing would be a big deal to me. I was like, nah, it's not that big a deal. Nah, how could you get any better than an X-Sport Max? Because I really like the Max. And I thought, yeah, but now I kind of feel like I'm cheating on the Max because I like the 360 better.
Well, I'll tell you what, the arrows are just aesthetically appealing, but they're very informative.
And, yeah, and they are.
And it works so accurately. It's just so precise.
I really can't talk to my Max now because I'm feeling like I cheated on it.
Yes, but no, your Max, she'll talk to you, though.
I know. I like them both. But
hey, Ron, let me ask you a question about the consolidation and what you see the future for the company now that you have access to multiple different technologies that all can be potentially packaged into one unit. I mean, how do you see the future of your business changing now that you guys have done this?
First of all, I would tell you that we're not done expanding. We wanted to mention real quick, we just picked up Wasp Cam, which are the action cams. And the Wasp Cam's claim to fame are these are durable, they're ambient sealed, they're waterproof, they're ready to go right out of the box for a whole lot less money than you're paying for the other name brand. Uh-huh. That whole line was just added. Those are beginning to be sold through us as well right now. So I think, one, it continues to get bigger, larger, stronger. Two, it is, as I said at the top, a one-stop source for all of your mobile consumer electronics needs. I mean, think about it. Everything from two-way radios and CB communication to speed measurement devices, radar detection protection, marine radio, so whether you're on land or you're on sea, the dash cams now for in-vehicle eyewitness protection, personal protection, all of the inverters that Cobra sells, the power products, we make the jump packs, the jump starters, so your battery dies. I mean, from top to bottom, all of that's in one location. I think it's going to make us stronger. It's going to make us more effective, more efficient through distribution channels, distribution chains, coming on and talking to folks like yourselves. I mean, we can go in any direction at any time. I think it's exciting. I think there's a lot going on. I think there's a lot still to be unfolded.
Wow, this is going to be, we're going to have you on again. We'll have to go into this farther.
Well, yeah. if that's an invitation, I would love to, I would accept and love to come back on and talk about the new Wasp Cam action cams.
Hey, we got about 30 seconds left. Give us a website that folks can go to get more info.
Well, we're still working on that. So we have two, escortradar.com and cobra.com. And both, we have phone numbers. So you go to the website, look up the phone number, give us a call. We have folks standing by ready to talk to you about any and all of the products we've just mentioned.
Ron, thank you for the time. Really appreciate it.
Matt, Mike, thank you both very much. Always a pleasure to be on.
Thanks, big guy.
It's Ron Gibbon, marketing manager for Escort Radar, joining us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line here on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. It's our Q&A segment next here on a Saturday morning on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Round Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Perrault.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. And as before we wrap things up, we always like to ask you guys, the audience, if you'd like to ask Mike any questions, mike@letstalkwheels.com, the email address. And let's start with Clarence. Mike, he wants to know what he should look for when buying a used car for his college-bound daughter this fall.
Well, you know, you want something safe. And, you know, either get a lot of iron around them or a lot of airbags. And that's kind of basically... That's the simple criteria, and that's what we do. It's simple.
Yeah,
and get it checked out by a technician.
Yeah.
And by a shop, and make sure that it's not something that's been salvaged. You know, there's a lot of bad cars running around there right now. That's the biggest.
If you had $10,000, okay, let's say hypothetically you had 10 grand to buy a car, would you recommend going and trying to buy, you know, buy a new car for, say, like $12,000? Or would you recommend spending 10 on a car that might be like 3 or 4 years old?
I would buy a 3 or 4 years old car. You know, I would buy something
like a Jetta
subcompact or something like that. You know, yeah. Or something like that, and buy something that's like maybe 4 years old, 5 years old. These things are great. You know, buy something like that. It'd be great. You know, something that just that has maybe 30,000-40,000 miles, that has a ton of miles left on it and that they can enjoy.
Right. All right, let's go to Evelyn. She has a 2015 Camry, wants to know if she could change her oil at 4,000 miles instead of 3,000 miles, assuming she's using premium oil. She read that conventional wisdom is changing on this subject, and what is your opinion on stretching out the oil?
Well, sure. She could actually go. I would go 5,000 miles. You don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in these oil change places, they want to go 3, and that's nuts. You really should go 5. And sometimes, if you're in an area without that's not real dusty, and its temperatures aren't extreme, you can go maybe 6. But like for example, you're in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's hot, and it's dusty.
Yep.
And so you want to go 4, you know, maybe 5. Now, you're in Northern California, and you're not in stop-and-go traffic, and it's temperate climates. You can go 7 or 8.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Really?
Oh, yeah. In perfect conditions like that, sure. But in Houston, where it's hot and humid and stop-and-go traffic and dusty conditions, you could go 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but 5 is not becoming terrible. The norm, right? I mean, 5...
5 is a good number. I go 5.
Yeah, if you're doing full synthetic, you can even... go a bit
you
further,
could go
right?
7,500.
Yeah.
But you know, you want to go. I use all the new oils are basically synthetic blend, and so that's what I would do. But you know, I use 5,000. I look at my oil. It's not filthy. It's nice and dirty, but not horrible. And it's not worn out, but it's going. It's getting there.
Right. That's time.
It's a good combination.
Do you have any advice for when you are looking at your oil? What do you mean by it's dirty but not filthy?
It's chocolatey, but it's not black, you know. And you want it to be dirty. I mean, I hate to waste, you know, the oil. Some people go 3,000 miles. It's still clean. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's still you want the oil. Oil surrounds dirt and carries it until you're ready to drain it, right? But eventually the oil will break down. And then just starts depositing dirt all inside your engine. That's what they call sludge.
Right.
Then you've gone too far, okay? There's a lot of byproducts of combustion. So if you're in an area, and you also as you drive your car and you put it on the road and you're driving it a long ways, it'll get all the impurities out of the oil and gets all the moisture out of the oil and things like that. If you're driving a lot of short trips and you're not really warming up the car and things like that, you've got to change the oil more often. If you're in stop and go traffic and you got to change oil more often. If you're on the highway, it's a lot better for your car, you know. Like, but short trips are tough. I'm pretty good. I don't get caught in a whole lot of traffic, but it is hot and it is dusty, so that's a tough one for us. But I like the oils on nice, kind of chocolatey a little bit, and but still not horrible. I want to get the dirt out of it right then, so that's what I do.
All right, let's go to Carl. He has a 2012 Ram pickup, 30,000 miles. He was wondering how often he should replace the fuel filter, and he can't find anyone to recommend this or find it in his owner's manual as to when the filter should be replaced.
Yeah, I know that, and I can't find it either because they don't want you to anymore. It's one of these, the filter's built into the pump, and it's down inside the tank. And it's like one of those lifetime filter things, which is about the dumbest thing I've ever seen. A lot of these companies are doing this, and it's like, wait a minute, what happens if I just get a bad load of fuel or something? What am I supposed to do? Well, drain the tank. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
And some engineers thought this up, and I just can't figure them out. I just want to beat my head against the wall with them. You know, I actually want to beat their head against the wall. But no, it's... No, there is no fuel filter to really change. You have to go into the tank and replace this whole sock assembly and all that. It's like, so there isn't really. In a perfect world, you'll never get dirty fuel. So there you go.
Just hope you don't.
Yeah, just hope you don't. There you go.
All right, got about a minute left, Mike. Let's squeeze in one more question here on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. Alan has a 2001 Accord. It's a 4-cylinder.
Yeah.
Only 46,000 miles on this thing. Now, that's crazy.
Great car, too.
15-year-old vehicle with 46,000 miles. He wants to know, does he need to change his timing belt now, even with the low miles?
Yeah, because they say you only change it till like 90,000 miles, but it's only got 46. But guess what, guy? It's 15 years old. Yeah, you got to change it before it breaks. I can't believe it hadn't broken already because
right. The
rubber belts go, they snap. Yeah, change it as soon as you can before it breaks. I wouldn't even, you know, I'd be paranoid. I'd go nuts. Because that's a great car. That's like some of the best cars they ever built. Yeah, I'd change it as soon as I could because that belt will snap in a heartbeat.
All right, Mike, give out your email address for those folks that want to be on next week's show.
Mike@MikeHerzing.com, or you can always go to Let'sTalkWheels.com or find us on Facebook. That'd be it.
Very nice. Get the show on podcast on podcastarena.com by searching Yahoo Sports Radio and then Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. For Mr. Mike Herzing, I'm Matt Perrault. We're back next week, same time, same channel right here on Yahoo Sports Radio.